human rights, environmental justice activist, president of the Fossil Fuel Nonproliferation Treaty Initiative, former head of Greenpeace International, Amnesty International. Happy birthday to Yvonne Capier. Thank you to Tarina Nadura, Dennis Moynihan, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, and Sam Alcock, who are here on the ground with us in Belém, Brazil, at the UN COP 30. I'm Amy Goodman.
When they separated families, we took them to court and won. When they limited access to essential health care, we fought the bans and won. And now they're determined to reverse more of our hard-won rights and freedoms. But if they try to take away our rights, they've got to get past us. We are the American Civil Liberties Union, and we will fight any attempts to roll back our rights in the courts, in state legislatures, and in the streets.
When you're surrounded by oppressive laws, you can't just sit back and be oppressed. You get up and fight. And all of us at the ACLU are fighting for you.
Right now, the ACLU's work is more important than ever. The ACLU is fighting in the courts and advocating in all 50 states to ensure that all of us can exercise our rights. To learn more about ACLU's work defending our civil liberties, go to myaclu.org.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM, 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, time for another edition of Off the Wall. Oh, yeah, and a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening as I adjust my microphone. Kyle's here as well.
Sort of, yeah. I'm here. Ish.
Yeah, it's been a bit hectic.
Do you need help with that? I'll help you.
I sound like I'm off mic somehow.
You're off mic?
Don't I sound like I'm off mic?
All right, well, it's not twisted. It's facing you. So you're speaking right at the transducer.
The transducer, you say?
I'm sorry if that's a little too technical for everyone.
I have a special presentation, and I would very much appreciate
it. It's facing you. Wait, can you hear? If I talk from the back of your microphone,
3 inches from my face, so yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. Yeah, you're gonna fall on the table if you're not careful.
What do you want me to do?
Well, I want you to celebrate along with the rest of the world because guess what? Scotland has just qualified for the World Cup.
That's right.
All you non-believers out there.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't think this century they've qualified.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, they beat Denmark. I don't know if that means Denmark didn't qualify. I'm sorry if that's the case. But come on, Scotland, that's going to be awesome. They're coming here to the United States or Canada or Mexico. You know, three countries are hosting it at the same time this next summer. Yeah, I keep trying to get World Cup tickets, and I can't do it. Because FIFA is so corrupt, and I can say that. They keep making it so difficult. You've got to enter lotteries and things like that. You can pay a lot of money for the right to buy a ticket. Yes, the right to buy a ticket, which doesn't guarantee you'll get the ticket, but you have the right to try, and you pay them for that. It's just, it's crazy. I think I'll just watch it on TV. I wish I could share the espresso I'm having right now with every one of you listeners, because it is just so incredibly smooth and fine. Kyle has made this. Perhaps you'll tell our listeners the secret.
I've been called worse. So
I feel like one of those afternoon talk shows.
It's actually a local roaster. Won't like name names all that, but like there is really fantastic local roasting, local to New York, local to Long Island, upstate, Manhattan, every borough I'm sure has decent roasters, but yeah, so we get beans and we have means to press our S-O.
We have means for the beans. We do.
We use a manual espresso. It's not really that much of a machine. It requires some muscle.
Yeah, you hurt yourself sometimes on that.
Yeah, sometimes I might have to get shoulder surgery. I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's like full contact. It's like a stick shift, but like to make coffee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do that, and I have a nice grinder that we invested in, and yeah, so we have like a amateur coffee operation, and it supplies the host with ample amounts of tasty, smooth, and wonderful caffeine.
Well, this is the moment where it does pay off, and I feel.
I'm glad you like it because you have a lot to talk about. This is just a wild roller coaster of a time. And
oh yeah,
I think you have a lot of stuff to talk about. So I don't want to upstage all of that with just a silly cup of coffee.
But. No, the Scots upstaged everything. The coffee can't compare. But, you know, we do have a lot to talk about tonight because there's a lot going on.
Support local roasters, though. That's all I'm saying. Wherever you are. Or try them from other locales. That's okay, too.
Support local everything. Support local dispensaries. Support local roasters. Support local
zines.
Support local bakeries. Support local restaurants, support local radio stations. That leads me into the fact that this is Radiothon. Smooth, huh? Yes, it's Radiothon. Radiothon is our biannual, or is it biannual? The one that's twice a year. Yeah, we do this twice a year where we try to raise money. And I say try, we do raise money. We successfully raise money with the help of you, our listeners. We are asking you to visit our webpage, wusb.fm, and go to the pledge link and pledge whatever you can afford. You know, we really like the people that pledge for a monthly donation. I mean, we like all our listeners, obviously, but we really like those kind of pledges the best because that's something that we can count on. We know every month we're going to get that $5 from Dolores or from Fred or, you know, all of our listeners out there. I know a couple more of them. It's very simple. You pledge a small amount, and that small amount adds up every month, and at the end of the year, it's a bigger amount. And everybody does that, and we're in decent shape. But we have to take that step, and getting as many people as possible to do that is the name of the game. We have our pledge tally room, which isn't always manned. It might be now. If it is, you can try calling 631-632-6901. And if somebody answers, they can take your pledge on the spot. But if not, simply go to WUSB.FM. You can go there 24 hours a day and pledge whatever you can afford. And it would be great if people pledged a lot and said Off the Wall was their favorite show. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, if you mention our show, that actually goes a long way in getting us some recognition and, you know, just crediting us. It keeps the programming and powers that be, you know, aware of our efforts and that there are people out there that have a lot of enthusiasm for our program or other programs. Mention all your favorite shows. But really what counts is any amount. Small or large, whatever you can put forth, one time, recurring, all of it really goes an incredibly long way. We stretch the dollars here and basically keep things going, pay some bills. It's actually a lot of mundane stuff. This is what our station manager and our engineering teams and all volunteers are involved day to day. So you don't have to be involved with that. You just get to sit back and enjoy, but your contribution helps make all of that work.
Well, we have a great student staff that runs the place, and community volunteers come in and help out wherever they can. And it's just a great a combination of campus and community. And that's the magic of radio. You're able to just gather people with different skill sets, different levels of experience, different backgrounds. And, you know, ever since we first went on the air in 1977, we've been doing that. And we do it around the clock. WUSB is really worth listening to at almost any hour. Just turn it on and see, you know, what magic awaits you. But the magic can only continue as long as we have the support of our listeners. Again, WUSB.FM is our webpage. You'll find all the information you need on how to pledge there. And you'll feel great about it. You really will. And this place will live to see another day, and who knows? Oh. Who knows how many cool experiences will be shared on the radio? You know, John Oliver did a great piece on Sunday about community radio, specifically with NPR. But we're not NPR; we're more independent than that. That gives us a bit more leeway. But the point, you know, stands that community radio offers these just unique services to the local listenership that commercial radio simply will not do. There's no money in it. That's why they won't do it. And if there's no money in it, they don't care. We do what's right. At least I like to think we do what's right. So a vote for WUSB is a vote for community radio, for connecting the community together and learning about what is happening. You know, if there's some kind of a crisis or disaster in the area, God forbid, you're not going to hear about that from the station that pipes in a signal from Colorado. No, you're going to hear about it from the station where there's somebody live in the studio, or remote studio, as it were. So keep that in mind when you visit WUSB.FM. Okay, so we have a bunch of stories. You know, we have one of our own stories, too. Those of you who follow, we run a hacker conference every summer. And we've been doing that at St. John's University the last few years. Today the news broke that St. John's University has banned our conference. We don't really have time to get into that here right now, but if you visit 2600.com, the webpage, you'll see the top story there is all about that. And we're just it's been a crazy day with all kinds of people calling and emailing and texting, wanting more information. So it's all kinds of craziness right now. But we just figured you listeners might be interested in that.
Absolutely. Share, your thoughts with us, hope@hope.net. And also, tell other people about it. If you've had a good experience at Hope, let them know what's going on and the kinds of things that, we're going to be looking at going forward. But we'll, I'm sure, share more in the future.
Hope stands for Hackers on Planet Earth. The first Hope Conference was in 1994. Most of them took place at the Hotel Pennsylvania, which is now a pile of rubble in Midtown Manhattan, so we don't do it there anymore. And I guess we're going to be doing it somewhere else. We have to figure out where to go.
I've found it. It's an opportunity to internalize a little bit. I've been on this for a bit. I know you've had an earful of it, but who are we? You know, what is hope, and will it become? And I think that I'm just putting out there as sort of a rhetorical question. I have thought about this quietly and loudly and with you and with others, and I really think we need to look at our roots, look at where we are, and look at where we want to be. And figure out what that looks like, who we are. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of this, the individuality, the amorphousness of it all is spectacular, but it's really, it's important that we set forth some intentions, that we understand the environment and what our purpose is, you know, like what it was, how it emerged, and then like how we want to define ourselves and like what's needed, like where should we put our energy? We've put a lot of energy into what we know how to do and what we've done before. We're open, though. Some things are kind of in such interesting states of flux that we're kind of open to all different directions of it. If it's going to be chaos, then, like, we're kind of soaking up the chaos. So, anyway, that's how I'm thinking about it, at least in the moment when I'm not a little bit disillusioned.
Well, we do chaos. We do chaos well.
Yeah, we can bring that.
Well, you know, what I've seen today, I realize that the Hope Conference means so much to so many people, and we've gotten overwhelming support. There's already a story on 404 Media. I don't know if you guys ever read that site. It's 404media.co. It's with the top story there right now. And that was only in a couple of hours since the news got out. So, this is interesting how it develops.
We want to know about other outlets as well. If you see stories about it, please send us a notice about it to otw@2600.com or that other email address I gave out. Mm-hmm. But, absolutely. I am really heartened, and it's just a visceral reminder when you see how people receive this and how they're understanding it and the sort of words of empathy and support that we've had, and like you said, what it's meant to so many people, what it's meant to their families, what it's meant to causes they care about. And we don't get that day to day. There's a lot of build up, a lot of work, and then we're very busy, and then there's kind of a crash when we tear down and end it and put things away until the next one. So when we see people reaching out and saying things, especially things that are slightly kind or very kind, that really gives us resolve and is greatly appreciated in moments like this.
Yeah, so thank you everybody who has expressed that, and we'll be keeping people updated as that progresses. We have a lot of other things to talk about tonight, though, because everything seems to be happening at once. It's been a pretty good day for democracy, I think, for the most part. We'll get into a few reasons why. But this just happened. The House voted today to release the Epstein files. And that's good, you know, because we weren't sure that was going to happen. And some Republicans were going against what Trump said. But then Trump did a thing where he completely reversed himself and said, you know what, you should release the files. We have nothing to hide. And so all these Republicans now are voting for it. So my theory was what's he up to? Because he's being implicated in there somewhere. It's definitely something he has historically not wanted to get out. And now he's saying, okay, let's release it. What's his plan? He's not the smartest guy in the world, but he's up to something.
So yeah, like what do you think? Like, what's your theory behind
this? Well, my theory was
you kind of had an insider. You think there's some thinking behind it.
Yes,
you might not. It's a little counterintuitive.
Well, let me say it. My theory was that they're going to get the House, but they're not going to get the Senate. And he's going to say, shrugging his shoulders, you know, the Senate didn't vote for it, so I can't sign the bill. So that theory lasted about 15 minutes because the Senate unanimously passed it. And it's on its way to his desk right now. So, I guess I've been My theory is completely worthless.
So you think he's going to not sign it and say it's a hoax?
Well, that's an interesting theory too. How do you think that would play if the House passed it overwhelmingly, the Senate passed it unanimously, voice vote, so there's no real accountability, and then he doesn't sign it? Well, first of all, unanimously, that's enough to override a veto, right? So I don't think it would work. But I'm looking at this story that just came out on Axios, and they're a bit pessimistic. They basically say that these files may never see the light of day. How is that possible? How is it possible that everybody is saying, let's release these files, and yet still Trump will get his wish of the files not being seen? What kind of chess game is this? Well, okay, let's review what happened here. I'm not sure how the Senate passed the bill by unanimous consent Monday evening, because the House didn't pass it till today, unless I'm really behind. In a stunning reversal, Trump supported the legislation after opposing it for months. Okay, his recent directive of the DOJ, and you notice this, he is directing the Department of Justice to investigate certain people, to do certain things, and they're doing it. Under Biden, he was accused of doing that, but it wasn't as overt, and there was, you had to come up with the evidence to prove that that was actually the case. It was nothing more than a theory that, yeah, he's behind this, or he approves of this, but there was never a smoking gun that showed him directing the DOJ to investigate his political enemies. Yeah, you could suspect him of doing that, but there was no evidence that he was. Here, they don't care. They're just doing it blatantly, and the evidence is there for all to see, and they don't care. They just don't care. So anyway, his recent directive of the DOJ to investigate Epstein's ties to former President Clinton, officials at J.P. Morgan Chase, and others, well, that little directive might cause the files to never see the light of day. So was this part of the plan the whole time? That because there's an ongoing federal investigation, they can't release those files. The DOJ can argue, and they will argue under his directive, that releasing the files would compromise that investigation. Do you remember the audit of his tax returns? Remember that, the first Trump term? Couldn't see his tax returns because he's under audit. It just went on forever and ever and ever, and nobody really knew for sure what was going on. Well, we could be looking at the same thing here. I'd like to be proven wrong. I'd like for, everybody to be talking about Epstein files next week and reading through them and passing them around, the whole family and everybody going through them. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Like school plays about it and stuff.
School plays, yeah, that's a great idea.
Theatrical interpretation, yeah, that would be hilarious.
Put them on, little scrolls around, that go around buildings and teletype machines, and yeah. So I don't know. I'm doubtful.
In the moment, I'm interested, or like I feel it's let's get past this instead of the constant will it ever surface. But in the grand scheme, I'm wildly disinterested in all of this. His corruption and criminality is manifest. Is that the word? Like, it's so obvious anymore. I just don't care. I think this is something higher power needs to sort out. Bolts of lightning. I don't know what.
Well, it's...
But it's beyond anything I think we can sum up, because there's so much.
It's obvious to you. And obvious to me, but it's not obvious to everybody. It's becoming more obvious every day, and that's great,
it was obvious in 2014.
Okay, fine, maybe we're smarter, I don't know, maybe we just see it.
I'm perfect.
Being a New Yorker, I can see the corruption immediately.
Yeah.
But I don't do anything about it. It's in our blood. Marjorie Taylor Greene, okay, there, I said it, the elephant in the room. I don't mean it that way. But that's what everybody's talking about now. Look at how she is being treated by Trump, because she insisted that these files be released. Now something that Trump is saying himself, but the damage has been done. She's now his enemy. And, you know how that goes. She's getting death threats. Look, I disagree with so many things that she has said over the years. And I thought she's done some really terrible things. But maybe now, when she sees how it actually plays out, I'd like to think that, you know, there's a chance for some redemption here. I don't like to just say people have no hope whatsoever. People can evolve. It's probably not going to happen, I know. But as long as she's saying the right things now, I'm gonna say, yeah, you know what? I agree with her. She was praising trains the other day. She said trains are really great because she had to ride one because of the government shutdown. She couldn't fly. And she said the people who run the trains are so amazing. Okay, you get it. You know, maybe you'll get the next thing as well. And we can learn from your little voyage into the Trump hell, whatever that was. I don't know. I'm always the optimist.
Well, and I think there's a need for some foils to his omnipotence, right? Like,
yeah.
His reign should have people that can be, you know, a form of Achilles or at least an interpreter of his madness.
Yeah.
He's out of his mind.
Like, out of his mind.
He's done. Cooked.
But to take him down will require a coalition of many people from many different backgrounds. And that's why I think it's foolish to just cut ourselves off from everybody that wasn't on board the whole time. You know, people learn through experience, and they bring that experience to others, and we can all learn from it. I don't know. We'll see where that goes. Interesting development. So I wasn't expecting that to happen. I really wasn't, and it's kind of interesting to see it. Okay, you know what? I didn't have time before the show. I usually spend some time getting stories together, so that they go in a certain order, and there's like a thread. So everything is still out of order and mixed up. So all the stories tonight are going to be jumping all over the place. So I hope that's okay. I there's nothing I can do about it. There's no time to sort through them. Okay, so the cops have arrested an ICE agent. Yes, that can happen. Cops have arrested an ICE agent for whipping out a gun on a 17-year-old driver. Think about that. Wow. Police have arrested a man believed to be working as an immigration and customs enforcement agent. Believed to be... What is it? The Soviet Union? You can't verify that this guy is an ICE agent? No, he's believed to be. He allegedly brandished a gun at a 17-year-old boy November 10th. Footage of the incident, which was obtained by KTLA in Los Angeles, shows the man approaching an SUV on a dark street with his sidearm drawn and pointed toward the window. Freeze, police, the man in the video says. Put the car in effing park. Get out of the car. Turn it off. Get out. You're speeding in the effing neighborhood. Come over here. Sit down. Get your ass down. I can say ass. They censored that word. Get your ass down. You have a driver's license. That's the most hostile traffic stop ever. But this guy doesn't even have the right to do a traffic stop. Cops in Riverside, Southern California have since identified the suspect as 45-year-old Geraldo Rodriguez, a resident on the street, who also displayed a badge toward the minor before getting him to step out of the car. The teen is understood to have complied with his demands and is now traumatized probably for a good long time. They have retained a lawyer. His family has retained a lawyer. The kid's family, that is. In the moment, I think the boy was just scared for his life, said the lawyer. By the time our client's parents showed up, the neighbors had essentially come to the rescue and stopped him from doing what he was doing. And that's what we need more of, is neighbors stepping up and stopping these thugs from doing what they do. Basically, they calmed the guy down, forced him to go back inside his house and leave the kid alone. And this is the craziest part. This lawyer added that upon hearing of the incident, the boy's parents rushed down to the scene with a copy of his passport out of fear that this might be part of a wider immigration raid in the neighborhood. I think right now there are a lot of Mexican-Americans, whether they are in a situation like this or not, who are angry and scared, and this just really came close to home for them. And this kind of thing is happening all the time, all over the place. It's happening in North Carolina right now. Raleigh, North Carolina has been hit. Charlotte yesterday, the day before that. Of course, around us constantly. It's unhealthy. It's scary.
Sometimes I imagine having a license to kill. But this brandishing of weapons at people is a new tactic. Something that these guys are doing much more frequently now, just like from the driver's seat and stuff like that. I've seen that a lot, photos and stuff on various social media platforms and stuff. Don't know if it's, you know, really widespread or some kind of policy to just start pulling your weapons out while you're operating a motor vehicle, but, and I hardly believe these guys are that afraid. I mean, just by having people shout at you or record you with their phones, but That's the heightened tension that we're working with here, and they're acting like they have a license to just point guns at people and shoot people because they're elevated to some godlike status. And I think not physically, but I think in legal and other ways, they need to be put in their place.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because this is not how we do things. No. And I'm guessing this wasn't an Irish-American boy?
I don't think so, no. I believe he was...
So there's that.
Yeah, from Mexico. His family was Mexican anyway. ICE action in our area today was in Brentwood, Ocean Avenue, and Caleb's Path, and Fifth Avenue in Bayshore as well. And yesterday, Copaig, Florida Avenue in Copaig, and Frederick Avenue in Roosevelt. Those are some of the places. Obviously, not all the places are reported, but we do our best. All right. Was I the only one who saw the Grey Cup the other day on Sunday? I told you the stories were out of order, Kyle. The Grey Cup is the Canadian Football League's championship game. It's their Super Bowl. You know, I did a little research just to compare American football to Canadian football. First of all, Canadian football has been around for quite some time, a long time. This is something like the, I don't see the actual number, but it's like the 115th Grey Cup. They've been doing this for over 100 years. What, Super Bowl up to like 50 or something? The average salary in the NFL is something like $1.5 million, whereas the average salary in the Canadian Football League is $80,000. The players are thinner. They do a lot more running around. They line up differently. If you look on the field, they're not all in one line. They're kind of spread out around the field. They have three downs instead of four downs. The field is longer. And for some reason, they still call it yards. I don't know why. They should call it meters. It's wider. The field goal the field goal post is at the end of the what do you call that in the back where when you score a touchdown and you celebrate and all that. That area, it's in the back, not in the front. Although there are some rule changes that are.
Are you talking about the
end zone? Thank you for that.
I wish this story had an end zone.
Wow, okay. Canada's football field is longer and wider than that in the U.S. The goalposts are at the front of the end zone rather than at the back. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, I got that backwards. The goalposts are at the front of the end zone instead of the back. And the end zone is deeper, creating more touchdown opportunities. You have more space to run and catch the ball. There are 12 players per side instead of 11. And again, as I mentioned, Canadian football allows teams only three downs to achieve a 10-yard gain, as opposed to the American four downs, which forces them to be aggressive. I don't know. I was watching it a little bit on Sunday, and it just seemed to have more action. It just seemed to be less standing around and less, running out the clock or just doing things that took forever and were kind of dull. But, you know, that's me. Congratulations, Saskatchewan. They beat Montreal. And that's all we're going to say about the CFL.
Good. Yeah, I'm really team sportsed out. That's why I'm being kind of like salty about this. And I know that this is also a team sport, but I like cycling. I like sports that this country doesn't give a damn about. So, yeah, go team sports. Love all your sponsors and money, and that's super cool. But not interesting to me. We've talked so much about football and just.
Well, I don't talk about American football.
No, like soccer, I mean. Soccer, American football, Canadian football. So much sports. It's like, I think, a coping mechanism.
Oh.
I think people in this country are coping.
Since you brought up soccer, big news. it's a good thing this is radio, Kyle. Very, very quick. Just a little bit of news here, which is kind of interesting. Major League Soccer in the United States, they always run over the summer, as opposed to everybody else in the world that runs through the fall into the winter. Well, now they're going to change, and they're going to be like everybody else. They're going to start in the fall and end in the spring. So there.
I was just showing you my cuticle. It's split. You see right there?
Moving on. Okay, so here's a dispensary that opened in Southampton here on Long Island. Right away, the Southampton Town Board voted to take legal action to block them. What Long Island, what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? Cannabis is legal. Dispensaries are a good thing. They bring in lots and lots of tax dollars. So many parts of the country and the world, Canada as a great example, are doing very well. And yet, you guys are reacting with ignorance and fear, shutting them down. There was one in Setauket. What was it? Strong strains in Setauket. They shut them down because the landlord didn't like the fact that they were dealing in something that wasn't completely legal in the eyes of the federal government, never mind the fact that it's completely legal in the eyes of the state and in the eyes of many states. And it's only a matter of time before it becomes federalized. So because one person is closed-minded, they're able to shut down something like that. Well, okay, so what's happening in Southampton? Well, the town board passed a resolution in the last minutes of its nearly three-hour-long meeting that allows Southampton town attorney James Burke to seek an injunction preventing Brown Buddha, which is located at 1533 County Road 39, from operating amid a months-long battle between Southampton and the dispensary over the town's permitting requirements. According to Burke, the town is still considering its options, including filing an injunction, noting that Southampton plans to take action as soon as possible. "We don't want any business opening up without the proper reviews and inspections, and none of that has happened yet," he said. Brown Buddha's owners, business partners Marquis Hayes, a chef, and psychotherapist Kim Stetz, have tried to open the dispensary for more than a year. They received their license to sell cannabis products on June 14th, 2024, from the state's Office of Cannabis Management. That's according to Newsday. Brown Buddha opened for curbside pickup in October of last year while waiting for town approval to let customers inside the store. "We went with delivery because we thought we could get our business open as quickly as possible, but it's been super hard with the town of Southampton." Brown Buddha and Southampton in August, sued Southampton in August, arguing that the town's zoning rules, which require special permits, violate state law. And that lawsuit is ongoing before a federal court in the Eastern District of New York. Yeah, the same federal government that supposedly says it's not legal. Just a month later, Southampton, one of four Long Island towns that opted to allow recreational cannabis sales, you'd never guess it, awarded Brown Buddha a special use permit to open its business. But that permit included additional requirements, among them building a sidewalk that would cost the dispensary $40,000. Things like that. It's just, it's like they just want to discourage them as much as possible. And we've seen this. You know, Brookhaven has been insane as far as getting dispensaries to open. How long has pot been legal now? It's been years and years. And I think maybe there's one dispensary in Brookhaven now. And it's just sad.
My thing is it's affecting the actual product. I just, the less avenues there are to sell, it means growers have less customers themselves. In other words, there's less retailers buying their product. And I think it's led to inferior quality and higher prices, even with the taxes.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are,
yeah.
I'm sorry, this may not be everyone else's experience, but Emmanuel and I have been to a lot of dispensaries.
Oh, a lot.
You have taken me or otherwise helped me locate them in pretty much every place we've ever traveled to in the last, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen various schemes, various systems, and a lot of different kinds of cannabis.
Can we just
and,
try to remember?
There's no way.
Washington, Washington State, California, Illinois,
Alaska,
Massachusetts, Vermont,
Yukon.
Canada just is one because it's legal everywhere.
Definitely, like Toronto or
that's still Canada. Yeah, all of Canada.
Okay, all of Canada. Yeah. There's definitely multiple places in Canada.
Alabama? No.
Definitely Europe a little bit, right?
It's funny how you know you realize certain states, what you buy legally, you could go to prison if you had it. If you were caught with it in certain states in the South.
I would love to talk about all of that. I have a lot of really interesting stories.
It's not funny.
I can't talk about a lot. I still cannot talk about all the cool things I've ever done.
Think of the people who live in those states.
It's tragic.
People who live in those states and listen to us mm-hmm. and say, boy, those guys have it good and they don't even know it.
I remember we were going through, but we've also observed things. I remember we were going through, New Mexico is in there.
That's not recreational in New Mexico, is it? I think it's only medicinal.
Okay, maybe I was thinking of another place.
Colorado,
sure.
There you go, okay.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. definitely. I've been there on my own.
Oregon?
I remember going through places like Oklahoma, though, where it's not essentially legal, but medicinal.
I might be thinking Oklahoma. New Mexico, I think, is okay.
And, of course, there's...
Texas? No.
No, Native American reservations.
Oh, there is, yes.
And, you know, there's different types of schemes that work in different mm-hmm. places. And my point in all of this, though, is I'm just going to say anecdotally, a lot of those places, the quality is better. I'm talking bigger colas, stickier buds, and cheaper prices. And I just think that for the people that are choosing to consume, this lack of availability is making it harder for people to sell and invest in their business and have a higher quality product. And I really think that, you know, this – and it ends up being that the larger players kind of drown out the smaller growers. I don't know exactly what the problem is, but I get this sense that New York's a really big market. And there's a lot of entrants that are doing sort of auto-cropped, like big commercial stuff, or they're importing it, or I don't know. They're not allowed to, but that's kind of saturating, and that's still stuff the local legal schemes have to compete with. And so then on top of that, you don't create enough legal outlets, let alone mail order or anything else, in various locales. So people just really have to commute to get anything at all, and then once they get there, they're paying really high prices for stuff that's it's okay, but I mean it's not outstanding. It's not like boutique, soil grown or like really really high quality stuff, and then they get taxed on it. And that to me, as someone who's been in so many other places where it's fantastic, I get kind of disappointed walking away. I'm like, I'm supporting the system here in New York, woohoo! But like. Mm-hmm. I could do better. I will say, with an exception, I did stumble upon a really good strain last time I was buying that I really liked. So you get surprised, but it's hit and miss. It's like it's too intermittent. So like this is affecting, I think, the consistency of what New York State's offering.
Well, I actually cheated. I searched for a story in my pile and found something else that's related. When the Democrats caved in last week and basically gave up the shutdown and yielded to the Republicans, I'm sure it's part of a bigger plan, and I'm just waiting to see what that is. They also managed to somehow allow a provision to be passed that would ban most hemp-derived THC products in late 2026 if signed by Trump. Now, this is insane because basically recriminalizing hemp is going to force American farms and businesses to close and disrupt the well-being of countless Americans that depend on hemp wellness products. That's according to Jonathan Miller, General Counsel at U.S. Hemp Roundtable. This is just something nobody was asking for. We're finally on the right path, and it just seems like in so many ways we're doubling back and moving in the wrong direction. I hope this is overturned. It's not law yet. If it becomes law, it's really, really bad.
If anybody out there wants to get involved or help with some of the sort of lobbying and educating in Washington, D.C., an organization that you could get in touch with is the National Hemp Association. They're a very kind of small organization in Washington, D.C., but they do lobby and they have had a hand in getting a lot of the hemp policies passed in the last like 5-10 years. I've been a member for a little while. It's not a bad resource, and they could use all the help they can get.
Mm-hmm.
This has probably been a really huge slap in the face for them and a lot of people that are trying to build non-recreational businesses around this plant. I'm talking fiber, I'm talking paper, I'm talking seed oil and proteins and stuff like that. Like, there are a lot of products that come out of this legalization effort and will now create an environment of confusion for them.
This is another example of working with Republicans, because Rand Paul, of all people, has been passionate about this.
Even Mitch McConnell at one point, now he's gone back.
I don't think he's passionate about anything right now. But Rand Paul was basically doing more to stop the government shutdown from ending than the Democrats were because of this. So, you know, when you find something that you're on common ground with, you know, work with the people that you agree with to get done what you need to get done. And I just hope that some of that happens to prevent this bad thing from happening.
Please prevent it from escalating. And, Mitch McConnell's passionate about having blood pressure at all.
All right, all right. Okay, I said there were a couple of bits of good news. Federal judges actually have blocked Texas from using that new U.S. House map in the midterms. Yeah, they can't use the new congressional map that Republicans drew up. Remember, it started the whole fight and the referendum with California that passed. So this ruling is a blow to Trump's efforts to have GOP lawmakers in multiple states redraw their maps to help the party preserve its slim House majority in the potentially difficult 2026 midterm elections. Well, it's gotten a bit more difficult. And, other states are also having some challenges there. No doubt it'll be appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, but it's a good first step. And also, here in New York, a federal judge has dismissed a move by the Trump administration to overturn New York state law blocking efforts by ICE agents to arrest or detain any alien appearing or attempting to appear for hearings at state courthouses. Yeah, people who appear for their hearings being arrested by ICE. In New York state, not legal, and backed up by a federal judge now. The judge rejected claims that restrictions in place under the state's Protect Our Courts Act create unconstitutional roadblocks to immigration enforcement. New York Attorney General Letitia James hailed the decision, saying everyone deserves to seek justice without fear. This ruling ensures that anyone can use New York State's courts without being targeted by federal authorities. And how do you disagree with that? I know. I'll find a way. Good news. Some good news from in the courts today.
I'm thinking of more states. Vermont, Massachusetts. Did we stop in any place in Connecticut?
I don't think we stopped in Connecticut. I don't think we did.
We didn't get any herb on
Massachusetts,
our pizza
we did.
Crawl?
No, when we went to New Haven. Did we go to a dispensary? No, I think
like we did, but maybe not.
No, I think we talked about going to a dispensary.
We probably did. We looked it up and then just had to catch a... Yeah.
Next time, though. Next time. Because we're going back for more pizza, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
We almost went to New Jersey once to a dispensary there. That was before New York had dispensaries. Remember that time in New York City where we waited online for hours for the first dispensary to open?
Housing Works.
Yeah, that was That was a moment. That really was, because
that was really cool.
It went all the way around the block.
They had like the full barricades and like all the media was there.
And such just cool people. You just wind up talking to all these people and you realize, wow, you know, all your life you've been dealing with this nonsense. We're talking about people from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and some of them were listeners to the other radio show, which is really incredible.
I could go on and on about it. Like, I don't like talking about, like, the Prohibition era being somewhat traumatic, because I know a lot of people with maybe, well, especially people with a different complexion than mine, had it way, way, way worse.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I still get super stressed out about that whole era, and when I go into these spaces and talk to people and you're understood and you have good conversations and you connect on that around this plant and, you know, under just getting help or just being treated like an adult, you know, not or and like a normal person on a human level, it's really reaffirming. Well, in light of or in contrast to what it was.
Speaking of being treated like an adult, didn't you wind up sneaking in at the very end because they were closing? And we had been online all this time, and these friends that you had made online, they helped get you in as, I think, literally the last person.
So oh, my gosh, you're right.
You didn't
yeah.
have to come back the next day.
You're right.
Yeah, I didn't make it. But you know what? I wasn't buying anyway, so I didn't need to go in.
Yeah,
but
you, like, peeled off, and you're like, no, yeah. hang out with them. They'll get you in.
They were just – it was so great because it was a Brooklyn moment. They're all like, come on, come on, come on, get over here. Because the people running the place who all of a sudden were elevated to authority figures, they were turning away at that moment. So you were able to just kind of sneak in.
At the time, like, I think inventory and just, like, the onslaught was a lot that day.
It was,
but that
yeah.
is not just Brooklyn. That's a quintessentially New York thing. Just, like, being taken care of. Having uh-huh. people be like, no, you're with us. Come on.
Yeah.
You know? I felt really a good kinship there. But anyway, go back to these stories. These are other things. We'll talk about cannabis.
Here's another feel-good story. The leader of an Eastern European neo-Nazi group who tried to recruit an undercover federal agent. What a story here. Okay, hang on, I'm sorry. I should have read this before, because it's a lot, and then it's a lot more. The leader of an Eastern European neo-Nazi group who tried to recruit an undercover federal agent to dress as Santa Claus and hand out poison candy to Jewish children and racial minorities has pleaded guilty to soliciting hate crimes. Good Lord. Federal prosecutors said they would seek a sentence of up to 18 years for Mikhail, oh Lord, oh boy, how do you pronounce C-H-K-H? I'm going to try. Shikavishvili. Shikavishvili, that's his name. Mikhail Shikavishvili, a 22-year-old from the Republic of Georgia, who also goes by Commander Butcher. Okay, if you know somebody whose nickname is Commander Butcher, you need to evaluate that relationship, because they don't sound like a good person to me.
I think that's what the undercover law enforcement officer was doing.
He pleaded guilty Monday before a federal judge in Brooklyn. Boy, federal judges have been busy lately. To soliciting violent felonies and distributing information about making bombs and ricin.
Not good.
Prosecutors describe Shikavishvili as the leader of the maniac murder cult. Again, if you know somebody who is a member in good standing or, slightly overdue standing of the maniac murder cult, that's something to look at. That could be a problem. You know, do some investigation. They are an international extremist group that adheres to a neo-Nazi accelerationist ideology, as opposed to just the usual slow-ass neo-Nazi ideology, and promotes violence and violent acts against racial minorities, the Jewish community, and other groups it deems undesirables. In other words, Nazis and the worst people on earth. And, you know, for some reason, when you hear all the accusations of anti-Semitism, stories like this don't make it. You don't see this on the news. Why is that? Instead, you see people who are holding Palestinian flags. They're the ones being accused of this? No. This is the threat. This is what you have to be on the lookout for, because that's very real.
It's political Stockholm syndrome.
Something like that. The group's violent solicitations, which are promoted through Telegram channels, they outlined a manifesto called The Hater's Handbook, They appear to have inspired multiple real-life killings, including a school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee that killed a kid. Yeah, so keep your eye out for scum like that, because they do propagate. All right, speaking of scum, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is in town, or in Washington, D.C. They just use his initials, right?
BS is fine.
Yes, I suppose. But Trump is welcoming him with open arms. I mean, this is the guy implicated by the CIA for the murder of the journalist, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Khashoggi,
right, thank you.
Yeah, and he's in the White House. So that's the country we live in. Nice one.
And basically, I'm looking for the exact quote here. I'm very proud of the job he's done, said Trump. What he's done is incredible in terms of human rights and everything else.
Lie. I mean, women can, like, drive and stuff, but lie.
Basically, you know, he's what Trump said today was unforgivable, because he basically said that Khashoggi had a lot of enemies and that these things happen, you know, and he just basically surrounds himself with really evil people, whether it's Epstein, whether it's the Saudi prince, whether it's Netanyahu, Putin, Kim Jong-un. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And that should be enough right there to tell people who he really is.
It's all the rage, but resist it, people. Be good, be kind, stay sexy, have fun, but don't let them win.
I see dead people.
Let's send this one out to Trump. Good night, everyone.
Hi, Mr. Hunter Pete. Both any rap, he a free throw, man down, call her Ember Lambs, tell him free bro, Nella New, to the cross, he walk around like Tito, what's up with these Jabroni air, trying to see Compton, the industry can hate me, Marlon and mama, how many ops you really got, I mean it's too many options, I'm finna pass on this body, I'm John Stockton, beat your not the Bible if God watching, sometimes you gotta pop out and show. Certified boogeyman, I'm the one that up the score with him. Walk him down whole time, I know he got some him. Pull on him, extort, really the flow on him. Say Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me Chubb's the only one that get your hand-me-downs. And party at the party playing with his nose now. And Baca got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 that's fuck him up. Wop, 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 I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a, ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord, and it's probably A minor. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. You think the bay gon' let you disrespect pop? I think that Oakland show will be your last stop. They cold foul, I don't know why you still pretending. What is the owl, bird, Lucas, and bird? Go. The audience not dumb, shape the stories how you want. Hey, Drake, they're not slow. Rabbit hole is still deep, I can go further, I promise. Ain't there something be rest? That's for bitching. You Malibu most wanted, ain't no law boy, you ball boy. Fish Gatorade or something. Since 2009, I had this jumping. You can get a wedgie, be flipped over your boxes. Or over your foe, the other option. Better straighten they posture. Got famous all up in content. Might write this with a doctor. Tell the pop star quit hiding. The caption won't action. No accident. I'm hands on. He around get polished. Don't rain girl like he was in jail. That's conniving. Then get his face tatted like a bitch apologizing. I'm glad he rose came home. Y'all didn't deserve him either. From Alonja down to Central. Better not speak on Serena. Hey, homeboy needs a subpoena. That predator moving flocks. That name gotta be registered and placed on neighborhood watch. I lean on you niggas like another line of walk. Yeah, it's all eyes on me and I'ma send it up the pot. Ay, put the wrong label on me. I'ma get them dropped. Ay, sweet. Chin music and I won't pass the ox, ay. How many stocks do I really have in stock, ay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 plus 5, ay. Devil is a lie, he a 69 god, ay. Freaky as a, he just stay the ass inside, ay. Roll that ass up like a fresh pack of Zod, ay. City is back up, it's a must, we outside, ay. They not like us, they not like us, they not like us. They not like us. They not like us, they not like us.
Once upon a time, all of us was in chains. Homies still doubled down, calling us some slaves. Atlanta was the mecca, building railroads and trains. Bear with me for a second, let me put y'all on game. The settlers was using town folk to make them richer. Fast forward 2024, you got the same agenda. You run to Atlanta when you need a check balance. Let me break it down for you, this the real challenge. You call future when you didn't see the club. What? Little baby help you get your lingo up. What? 21, get your first street cred. Help that you feel like you a slime in your head. What? Quavo said you can be from Northside. What? 2 Chainz say you good, but he lied. You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you're not a colleague, you a colonizer. The family matter and the truth of the matter. Here was God's plan to show y'all the liar. He a fan, he a fan, he a fan. He a fan, he a fan, he a freaky, freaky, he a denying God. Freaky, freaky, he a denying God. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for your life. Freaky, 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 he a denying God. Freaky, 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 God. Hey, 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 run for your life. Hey, 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 run for your life.
Let me say O V ho,
O V,
say O V ho,
O V.
Step this way, step that way, then step this way, step that way. Are you my friend? Are we locked in? Then step this way, step that way, then step this way, step that way.
Everyone, you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. We just heard Kendrick Lamar, and I love that song so much. I feel like I haven't heard it in a while. It hasn't got kind of like a lot of airplay in the last few, I guess, months or so. It hit big like last year, and it was so big during the Super Bowl. I still can't get over Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl performance. Amazing. I think it's one of the top, actually, but I think some people don't agree. I watched like a bunch of those videos that were saying like, oh, these are the top Super Bowl performances, and like Kendrick's was like not even in the top 10. I was like, no, you're wrong, because this is my favorite Super Bowl performance. But yeah, anyways, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. This is The Nervous System. I'm your host, Noor. Stay tuned for a lot of new music. I feel like a lot of artists have been kind of just pumping out music in the last quarter of the year. It's already November. It's already late November. I feel like November just passed by, but that doesn't mean that music has not kind of been pumping in the last quarter, like I said. I'll be right back. A few PSAs. And then I'll get you into kind of what's going on and kind of like what's going to be nominated for some awards coming up soon. You're listening to WUSB.